This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I want to apologize to the gay and lesbian community. That's not the type of guy I am. This is hard for me. I saw the video last night and I had a tough time sleeping.
We all stand behind his apology. I think Andrew's done a good job of admitting what he did wrong, and I think the rest of us feel the same way. So I think we all know what type of person he is, and he's a great guy that everyone loves in the locker room. I think he's respectful of others, and obviously knows that he made a mistake in the heat of the moment last night.
6-12, Andrew Shaw sits tonight. Hopefully there will be a game six for him to come back to. I believe he is sorry. I don't know him well. I know him a little. I believe he does realize he did a stupid thing. And also believe that the NHL had to act, and they did what they did. So it's a tough situation all the way around, but it's of his own making, and I think it's an opportunity for him to learn from it. Look, if you want to brand him as as the type of person that's a homophobe, a bigot, or anything else for the rest of his life, then, you know, we live in a judgmental society. And I think this audience is smarter than that. I think people make mistakes and they say stupid things in the heat of the battle or an argument or whatever. I mean, think about some of the things you probably said at your house when you were mad and you're yelling and screaming. Having said that, not acceptable. And we live in a world where everything you do is on camera all the time. And it's tough when you are in a, you know, when your job is to go to work and have other grown men pound on you, mm-hmm. and hit you and poke you and smack you. And then you're dependent on other grown men to make decisions on whether or not that pounding was appropriate or not. Your emotions will run high. But again, I don't want people to confuse this. I'm not excusing it. I don't use that kind of language. And nobody should. There are words that are not acceptable in society anymore for a good reason. And the F word in regards to being gay is one of them.
One of the things that Jonathan Toews said, which I think is kind of gets back to what you just said, Steve, is that these guys, not only are they going to work and being pounded on, but they have cameras all over and microphones nearby as well. And this isn't to say, well, it's okay if the camera's not on or if the microphone's not around, but you have to be cognizant of that because people are watching, people are listening, and people will draw conclusions based on what you say.
And we judge people now in a completely unfair way. Again, I'll keep disclaiming this, not excusing what he said.
Right.
But if I put a camera on you when you went to work today, and the camera was on you all day long, and the camera was on you tomorrow and next week, whatever you do for a living, I guarantee you there'd be a time where you were uncomfortable for the joke you told to the office or the thing you said about the person that sits in a cube next to you that's not there right now or the explosion you had at work because somebody did something that upset you. We all say stupid things. The question is, do you regret those stupid things and do you apologize and do you mean the apology and do you move on? Again, I don't know Shaw well, but I know people who know him well. They say he's as good a guy as these guys say he is. So I say we accept his apology. You eat it for the game. He sits down, mm-hmm. And we move on. I think it's best for everybody.
Watching his news conference, honestly, I think it was very heartfelt. Yeah. You know, and to his credit, he owned it. He didn't say, "Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't say it." He owned it.
Well, and you think about his age. How old is he?
25, 26.
He's not yet 26.
Okay, the generation of 25 and 26-year-olds in this country have never been more accepting. Mm-hmm. He's 24, okay. His age range, I promise he has gay friends. I promise he has gay people he knows in his life. Certainly there are 24-year-old homophobes. I got to tell you, I don't believe he's one. again, it's just speculation. So I hope we can move on from this. I hope we can get back to it. I hope he's learned something from it. I believe he has. And I hope the Hawks win tonight.
I think so, too. And if you decide to put cameras in our workplace, just don't put one in my car during when I'm traffic.
Yeah.
That would not be good.
I've ridden with you.
Yeah.
Put one in Mary's car, though.
No, but so, I can tell you, right? I can tell you right now, we have cameras in this studio. We're about to have more, but we have cameras in this studio that, you know, the bad bank security film that we're on currently on WGNRadio.com, if you click the watch button. But if you followed me with a GoPro and a microphone all day, I'd be fired by 5 o'clock.
Five?
Yeah, because it'd take that long to process the paperwork.
I was gonna say, 2:30 maybe.
You know, there's things that I say off the air that are completely unacceptable. You know, and I'm not talking about the language Andrew Shaw used. I'm just saying we let it fly around here. And, you know, I've tried to clean up my act to some extent, but I'm not going to sit here as a hypocrite and tell you I don't curse. I do.
No, you guys do, definitely.
And well, you guys, I don't.
Okay, Mary Poppins, you're the only one.
You know what? That's kind of true. I think you and I swear more than Dave does. Yeah.
I guarantee I do. But
but not a whole lot.
I don't think
you could be a pot mouth.
I just don't think that your character and who you are as a person should be defined by a really unfortunate incident. If you learn from it. Now, if this repeats itself, then it's another story. Then maybe it was one giant fraud. I don't think that's the case. And I believe in the people who know him much better than I do and much better than you do to say he's a bad guy. That was a bad moment. He's punished, and we hope we move on.
Not only if you learn from it, but if his teammates learn from it and if other players
That's a great point. Yeah. It's a lesson to everybody as well. And the NHL, which is not known for being entirely progressive in how they do things, to, you know, take the ball and run, or the puck in this case, and run with it. Smart. So, Hawks tonight in St. Louis for Game 5. Didn't go that well here. Might as well be in St. Louis. So
they won their last game in St. Louis. Steve. Right. They lost their last two here.
Right, going for two in a row.
Yeah.
Bizarre. One other. It's not a sports note, really, but I know nothing about professional wrestling. But I do know the name China. An attractive, muscled-up woman who's been around wrestling forever. We should probably call Nick about this. He's going to be on in a couple minutes, isn't he? Nick can probably address this issue. I know we'll talk about movies, but Nick, I think, is a wrestling... Am I remembering that correctly? Isn't he a wrestling fan?
Yeah, I think he is a wrestling fan.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So China, found dead in Los Angeles, 45 or 46 years old, cause death not known.
She also did some stuff on MTV as well.
Really?
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Did they
80s.
Play videos then?
This was actually, when they did play videos.
Oh. Are you saying MTV killed her?
No.
Okay.
You've been acting so suspicious of our hospitality.
This beautiful moment is upon us. Tonight is the night our faith is made real.
Something doesn't feel safe here.
Sounds hilarious. New movie called The Invitation. We'll get to that in just a second. At Nick D Show, Nick DiGilio joins us now. Got to ask you about China first. What do you know about this story?
Well, China, you know, I've been a professional wrestling fan my entire life, and China was a pretty legendary, groundbreaking female wrestler who did things in the WWE, well, back then the WWF, that no other female wrestler ever did. You know, she won belts that only male wrestlers up until that point had won. She was actually up for the championship at one point, which was male dominated. And she was a spectacular in the ring and was a great addition and a legend in the wrestling business. The problem is this, Steve, if you were to look up the number of deaths in the world of professional wrestling, by people who were maybe 50, 55 and under.
Yeah.
The list would be staggering, and it's a crazy business. It's a business that's rife with alcoholism, drug abuse in terms of all kinds of drugs, including steroids. The life on the road is not friendly to your psyche. I mean, these guys are on the road, and these women are on the road 325 days a year.
That's nuts.
Sometimes getting paid nothing, sleeping in vans. It's a rough road, man. And not only that, I mean, the physical toll that you put on your body, you know, obviously pro wrestling, the outcomes are predetermined. The storylines are fake. The characters aren't real, but the damage that they do to their bodies is absolutely real.
For sure. Cause there's choreography that goes on, but the flying around, you can't fake that.
No, you can't fake throwing some guy through a table. You can't fake, you know, a barbed wire match where barbed wire is being thrown at people. I mean, they really put their bodies on the line for entertainment purposes. And it's just it's a very unhealthy situation in your psyche and physically. And so many begin abusing drugs, begin abusing alcohol, in addition to the rampant steroid use, which has been, you know, obviously documented.
Well, what's has there been any talk of her having issues, addiction issues or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. She struggled this for a very long time.
Well, point being, kids, you don't drop dead at 45 or 46. So there's something else going on here. We just don't know what yet.
No, not yet. But she had been in and out of rehab. She had a terrible personal life. She lost all her money that she had earned in the WWE, actually dabbled in porn for a while, had a drug and alcohol addiction for many years, even when she was wrestling. She had a very, very, very troubled life. And like many pro wrestlers, there's kind of no exit. And whatever addictions you have, whatever personality issues you have, it gets doubled or tripled with the time that you spend in that world.
Sad story, and obviously we'll let you know if there's any news on cause of death, but that may take a while. All right, what's this clip we heard?
Okay, I definitely wanted to mention this movie. There's a lot of big movies opening up this weekend. You'll hear all about them, but there's a film that's out right now. It opened last week. It's now playing at the Music Box exclusively, but you can see it on demand, and you can see it on iTunes. You can stream it. It's only like $5-6 to see it if you don't make it out to the Music Box. It's a film called The Invitation. And I wanted to plug this movie because it's not getting any press, and it is absolutely one of the best movies I've seen all year. Without question, one of the best movies I've seen all year. It is a really scary sort of horror kind of thriller, but it's about a guy who's been divorced from his wife, hasn't seen her in 2 years. Suddenly, he and his girlfriend get an invitation to their house, the ex-wife's house, to a dinner party, to an elaborate dinner party where they're going to reunite with a bunch of people that they haven't seen in years. And he hasn't seen his wife. And what had happened is that their child died. They had a kid and he died, and that's what broke the marriage up and screwed them up and split them apart. Now, they haven't seen each other in 2 years. They've both been dealing with the grief and the loss of their kid. And this dinner party that they get to, the guy just starts to be suspicious of what's going on. There are a couple of people there he doesn't know. Things start to build up. The dinner party gets weirder and weirder.
I've been to that party.
And you know, the movie is brilliant in that it's told from his point of view. And this is a guy who has been pretty delusional for a while and paranoid. And you never quite know if it's in this guy's head, if he's imagining this, or are these people going to kill him? Is this dinner party going to get really ugly? I have not been as riveted by a sort of a scary thriller in a long, long time. I saw it in my high. You know, I rented it on demand, and I watched it twice in a day and a half. And I sat on the edge of my couch from the beginning of the movie to the end, and I did not move. I did not blink. And you know, when you're watching a movie at home on demand, maybe you know your phone rings and you hit the pause button, or you go to the bathroom, or you go to the fridge to get it, you know, to get something to drink or something. I didn't move for the entire hour and a half of this movie. It builds, the tension just ratchets. Like, it builds and builds and builds and builds. You never know where it's going. There's a surprise every 15 minutes. It is beautifully directed. Karen Kusama directed this movie. She made a name for herself a bunch of years ago in 2000. She directed a movie called Girl Fight, which was Michelle Rodriguez's first movie where she played a female boxer. And that was a great film and a great first feature. And since then, she's done some pretty bad stuff like Jennifer's Body and Eon Flux. This is the best work she's ever done. It's one of the best thrillers of the year. Incredible performances. John Carroll Lynch is in it. And you would know John Carroll Lynch from many things. But mostly, Steve, you probably remember him most. He was Marge's husband in Fargo, the guy who did the stamps.
Yeah,
and he's in this movie in a very mysterious and very creepy and awesome role, one of the best roles he's ever had. It is beautifully acted, incredibly well directed. Seriously, one of the scariest and most intense films I've seen all year. You never know where it's going. It's called The Invitation, and I highly recommend it, especially if you want to be freaked out. And it's got one of the most jaw-dropping final shots. Like reveals that I've seen in a movie in a very, very long time. And I really wanted to mention this one because, if you can't make it out to the Music Box, I know, if you can't get out to the city to the Music Box to see it, it is available, streaming online and on demand. And I can't recommend it highly enough. It's one of the best films I've seen all year.
All right. We're almost out of time here, but anything else opening this weekend?
Yeah, The Huntsman, for some reason, they thought they needed a prequel to the Snow White version with Charlize Theron.
Don't hate her because she's beautiful.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, she's Furiosa, man. She's in Mad Max. She gets a pass on everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone in Mad Max does. Anything else
and
opening?
Yeah, Elvis and Nixon, which stars Michael Shannon and Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey plays Nixon. Michael Shannon plays Elvis. And it's about their infamous meeting that one crazy night where he just showed up.
Yeah, I don't understand how they got a movie out of this. But, you know, it's a picture. But anyway, maybe it works.
Yeah, there's a thriller called Green Room in which Patrick Stewart plays what is supposed to be the nastiest villain that anybody has ever seen. And that's supposed to be really good. And there's a Tom Hanks movie called The Hologram for the King, which is based on a Dave Eggers book. And I hope they don't screw it up because I really love that book.
What a weird weekend for movies.
It is a little strange, yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Let us know if you hear anything on China.
I will.
At Nick D Show on social media. Big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You, Sam Bergen, I don't know if this is related to the fact that you slept 45 minutes last night. You actually have this theory. You say the reason McDonald's Diet Coke is better than any other Diet Coke is because of the straw.
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
Yes. The straw has a little bit more girth than most straws. And so it comes up in this most perfect cylinder to your mouth. Its aromas are, I don't know, it's perfect for the tongue.
Okie dokie.
It's the bigger straw. Maybe over at 1871, they're already got some kind of incubator thing happening. Straw technology.
Yeah. It's science.
We got a Mike Jacobson on this. Now, Mike, you produce this show as well. Have you seen anything indicating that Sandberg may be losing it?
Not until today.
So the straw thing really is.
They may take my dignity, but they will never take our straws.
Oh, that's tremendous. 6:43. That was all from yesterday's show. By the way, it turns out Sandberg was right. McDonald's on their own website explains that the straw is part of why the Diet Coke and the regular Coke and the Coke Zero, whatever else you have at McDonald's, tastes better.
See, who knew? We were actually educating people, informing them.
I mean, if I'd known that when Kevin and Ross left, it would have been a much easier hire. I wouldn't even have had to look into her background at all, run the checks we did under criminal activity, none of that. At 6:44, plug for our friends at Channel 9 and the morning news. They're running a video this morning of something called Tidy Whitey Love Song, which looks very, very funny. So we're going to play a bit of this, see if it translates to radio here in a second. And John DeCosta's here. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do we have any shows we need to plug?
Well, the big one, the next one, which is our early late night talk show at Zany's in Rosemont.
That's right.
May 15th.
This is late night to me, May 15th at Rosemont Zany's, and we'll do a talk show on stage there with some yucks and some talent and various other things.
Can you guys say who your guests will be?
No.
Okay.
No, we can't.
All right.
No. We're not even sure Steve is going to be there.
You haven't booked him yet?
We're going to have Ronald McDonald come in and explain why the straws are better. So that'll be on May 15th. But you should come out. We'll have comedy. We'll have music. We'll have dancing.
It's early. Yes, exactly.
We'll have magic.
We did it last year, and it was a lot of fun. We got a great response on that.
You can have magic?
Yeah.
You're not cutting me in half again. That didn't work out so well last time.
Well, I didn't make it to rehearsal. So the fact that it didn't work out well live is probably understandable. So anyway, how do we get tickets for that?
You can call the Zany's box office at Zany's Rosemont, 847-813-0484.
Anything new on Today and DeCosta on YouTube?
Yeah, we just put, barkeep/your day job.
Okay.
Which was pretty good. And then waiting room only went up on Tuesday.
All right, so these are videos of John just living his life.
Yep.
Just living his life.
Yep.
They're tedious. They're painful.
Next Tuesday is I Hate Jennifer Aniston.
That's going up. Featuring Sandberg.
Yeah.
Long story. You have to be in the studio for some of these. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to Today and DeCosta, you're going to see hilarity and hijinks. And
I don't know about that.
How many videos are up now?
I think 27.
Wow. There's a lot.
It says 26 on YouTube.
26?
How do we subscribe?
I'm sorry, I was corrected.
How do we subscribe?
You just go to Today and DeCosta on YouTube.
And there's a little subscribe button?
Yes, little subscribe button, and you could just see them. You don't even have to, I can't even say that.
What are you doing with the thousands? What are you doing with the thousands of email addresses you're collecting?
Well, this is pretty good. A lot of insurance stuff.
Okay, great. Well, your database is your database. Who might ask?
Yeah.
Today and DeCosta, that's where you go to get that. And don't forget, May
15th.
Get
Sunday, tickets. 7 o'clock.
Promise you it'll be a great show, even if this isn't a great plug. Sunday night, 7 o'clock, May 15th, Rosemont Zanies. We'll do traffic, and then we're going to play the Tidy Whitey love song for you. So if you're getting up this morning and the man in your life is walking into the bathroom scratching his belly wearing Tidy Whiteys, this one's for you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
All right, now everybody be honest. Anybody on the show wear Tidy Whiteys? I don't own any Tidy Whiteys. Anybody?
Nope.
Mikey? No? No Tidy Whiteys? Pat Brady, you own any Tidy Whiteys?
No. But no. I think I'm pretty sure Kevin Powell does.
Well, it's an odd thing that
you
would know.
How do you know what's in his underwear drawer?
I mean, nice of you to speak for him, but I don't know how you'd know that.
I think he deserved that shot.
Okay, got it.
And I'm a little bit of a throwback. I'm the garter with the...
No, I didn't ask about cross-dressing. I was talking specifically about men owning tidy whities.
Okay, you should be more specific.
You guys wear the boxer briefs? That's the thing now?
Yeah, okay. I like the Tommy Johns.
Okay, got
yeah.
it. Okay.
But the fact is, I can't remember the last time I owned tidy whities. So is the tidy whitey business in trouble? Somebody's got to be buying them. You know, you go into a men's store or like a Target or, you know, Kohl's or whatever.
They're there.
Now you can buy tidy whities.
Why does Dave look so uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Dave, are you telling the truth about your tidy whities?
Yes, I am.
Do we have to do an underwear check?
I mean, it's up to you, but I'm...
Dave?
I'll do it.
Wedgie? Super wedgie?
Take one for the team.
Again?
So the reason I bring up...
Is it like a baby boomers thing? If maybe baby boomers still are keeping the whitey tighties alive?
They're tidy whitey.
Tidy whitey.
Yeah. Whitey, whitey tighty are the people that support Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. Tidy whiteys. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, little kids, right? Little kids wear them, but they sell them in adult sizes. And Sandberg's shaking her head. Little kids don't wear them.
No. Well, what do little kids wear?
They go commando.
They don't wear boxers.
Little kids have to wear little mini tidy whiteys.
Well, no, Sandberg.
Sandberg says that they're boxer briefs. Like,
yeah.
6-year-olds wear boxer briefs?
What?
Yeah.
What?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Chris
Yeah. I wear the adult Spider-Man underoos, you know, because I fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason we bring all this up is because Channel 9 was running a video this morning that looked very funny. And I asked Mike Jacobson, I said, look, is this going to be funny enough to play on the radio? So let's find out together. Here's a little bit of the tidy, well, you got to picture this. 12, 15 guys in tidy whities on a hillside with a Josh Groban-looking dude with a piano. And he's playing the Tidy Whitey love song. Listen.
You held me so close. You held me so tight. You supported me through everything. Why can't we be together? My tidy whities, I love you. My tidy whities, I love you. The touch of you against my skin, the waistband stretched through thick and thin. I may be a man, but then again, inside I'm just a little boy. A man should wear what he wants to wear at the point where the rubber hits the road. My twig and my berries barely have enough room, but you keep my fruit snug in your loom.
Sweet, isn't it? Isn't it sweet? Isn't it a nice song? The Tidy Whitey love song. But be honest with me now. Is there a hotter look than a grown man with a white t-shirt tucked into his tidy whiteys? Come on! Please. 6:55 back after this on 720 WGN. CTU President Karen Lewis called Governor Rauner a new ISIS recruit yesterday. Well, that's helpful.
No, this is
that's
not,
helpful. That should move the ball.
That's not good on any level.
No, it's really not. We'll talk about politics with Pat Brady, with Eric Edelstein, and with Rick Pearson coming up next hour. And special guest Congressman Adam Kinzinger is just back from a Middle East trip. Maybe he saw Rauner there if he's an ISIS recruit. I mean, why would I doubt Karen Lewis? She's always so fair.
Karen Lewis owes him an apology for that comment.
Yeah. Well, she owes an apology to everybody on both sides for making things worse.
Ridiculous.
So we will we'll get into some politics next hour. There are some big primaries next week, including the Pennsylvania primary, but Trump's planning on and probably will run the table on the Northeast primaries before things start to move west. and beyond. Hillary Clinton, with the superdelegates, is in need of, I think, about 33% of the vote the rest of the way to lock up the nomination. Without the superdelegates, the number is much higher. Bernie Sanders isn't going anywhere because he's got more money than anybody to spend. Trump hasn't spent much money, but once he gets into the general election, the question is, how's he going to be able to balance off the claim that he made before that it's the only self-funded candidate? And Pat, let me ask you this before we actually start next hour. Is there any way Trump could spend his own money and run the full general campaign or general election?
No, I don't think he's that liquid if you believe the people that know him, because it's going to be close to $1 billion. I think Obama spent $800 million last time, so it'll be close to $1 billion. I doubt it. And the big worry is a lot of the corporate donors, if he's the nominee or apparent nominee, aren't going to support the convention or the party anymore.
Bruce Rauner is a liar. And, you know, I've been reading in the news lately all about these ISIS recruits popping up all over the place. Has Homeland Security checked this man out yet? Because the things he's doing look like acts of terror on poor and working class people.
Yep. That happened. Delightful. I just lost my phone screen in here, Jake, so let me know when we've got Rick Pearson ready to go. It's 7:10 in the morning. The Steve Cochran Show continues. That was CTU President Karen Lewis yesterday saying that Bruce Rauner would be a new ISIS recruit.
Okay, that is also unacceptable.
Completely unacceptable.
The day after Andrew Shaw comes forward and apologizes for making a slur he shouldn't have, Karen Lewis needs to apologize for comparing the governor to an ISIS recruiter.
Flip it. What if Forrest Claypool said it? What if Mayor Emanuel said it? What if Governor Rauner said it?
Right, exactly.
It would be a complete firestorm today. Exactly. So how is it okay for Karen Lewis to say it? Rick Pearson joins us now. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
At Rap30 on social media. And the finest political writer in America. He never accepts the compliment, but believe me, he is. And host of the Sunday Spin as well. What's the story on Sunday's show?
I've got State Representative Lou Lang. He's got the proposal that would replace Illinois' flat income tax with a graduated rate income tax. And I've got Republican State Senator Matt Murphy to talk about the Republicans' opposition to that.
So, Karen Lewis. Slip of the tongue or a loose cannon, or where are we here?
You know, it's kind of it was a very interesting talk she gave to the City Club. And you have this broad audience of people. This isn't like speaking in a union hall. And she had some very cogent points about where the teachers are looking ahead to the possibility of a strike, but then proceeds to throw in that Rauner is the ISIS's newest recruit. And as much as she compares Bruce Rauner to a terrorist, I think in some respects she was suicide bombed her own message by using that, because that's what's going to get all the attention and not anything that's substantive. And, you know, she obviously risks destroying the credibility of her message by using that kind of rhetoric.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to be able to help herself when she's in front of a crowd, but you have to decide if you're going to represent the union or be an entertainer. I don't think you can be both.
Well, I think, frankly, I think you can be an effective voice for the union. You can also be an effective voice to try to explain your point. And that was really what the purpose of the City Club event was, for her to explain the union side in this dispute with the public schools. But as I said, when you start tossing in that kind of rhetoric and someone, you know, it almost seemed like it was as an aside kind of thing. But when you throw that in, you've basically lost the rest of your message.
So here's what we know in any walk of life. You ought to get what you can get when you can get it. But you also ought to be smart enough to know what the person you're asking for the raise or the job has. And if you overshoot your value by too much, you run the risk of not getting anything at all. Why would the teachers be different here? You know, whether or not you like the city's finances, the city is broke. That's not a lie.
No, and in fact, you know, let's rewind the tape a little bit, and you had the fact that there was a initial kind of agreement between CPS and the teachers union that was overturned by a larger group of the union, and so you already had the fact that. Now, where's the credibility from the union going back to the bargaining table with the city public schools, if anything that this group signs off on, you know, faces ultimate rejection by their larger group of delegates.
And if I understand that correctly, Karen Lewis in a group said this is a deal that we can move with, send it to the subgroup for approval before it went to the rank and file, and the second-level group shot it down?
So, yeah, it never even went to the rank and file. It went to a second-level
How many different group. Levels do we need before the teachers vote?
Well, I think it's those two levels, and then it goes to the rank and file. But, you know, again, this goes back to the issue of credibility. And, you know, in our past Tribune polling, we've shown overwhelmingly that voters in Chicago back the teachers union over Mayor Rahm Emanuel when it comes to improving the public schools. But you've got the credibility issue. You have the issue of, you know, whether there's going to be a strike in May. And that can change public perceptions very quickly.
And how many strikes do we need to have? Would it be 3 in 4 years?
This would be 2 in, I think, 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't count that day of action necessarily as a strike, more as a, but I suppose it could be.
My daughter's a teacher. I back teachers 150%, but at some point you've got to play within the system. And how much is enough? Everybody wants what they want. Everybody deserves probably more than they're getting. But I don't know that the teachers are getting great union representation here, because at some point the city's going to go, we're out, and we're going to start laying off hundreds of teachers.
Well, when you look at a system that faces, you know, $1 billion deficit next school year, the fact that there isn't really any more room for the public schools to get any more revenue, you know, you've got to close the gap somehow. And that's really, this is the nitty gritty. And again, as I've said so many times, when you have CPS looking to Springfield for more revenue, and we know what a clown car show is going on in Springfield as far as the state budget, looking to Springfield is not necessarily, you know, that's not a great plan B.
Stand by 1 second. We'll do a quick traffic, then a couple more minutes with Rick Pearson, Eric Edelstein, Pat Brady are here as well. All right, 719, host of the Sunday Spin, Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune, ChicagoTribune.com, at Rep 30 on social media. The Lucas Museum is going to cost how much?
Well, we're looking at leveraging the money from George Lucas, over $750 million, to leverage $1.2 billion.
All right, so George Lucas is putting in $750 million, and we still need $1.2 billion, or we need $500 million?
Well, that money, actually, we probably need the $1.2 billion, because you've got demolition costs for Lakeshore East. You've got a bonding issue that you're going to have to deal with. I mean, it's a very complicated issue of scenarios, because in some respects, the current place has got to make up for some of that space that would be lost with the lakefront annex, and you would have to build new space at McCormick Place to make up for some of that.
And have we done revenue projections on this? Because this is, you know, I know there's a lot more Star Wars movies coming down the pipe, but they make two or three bad ones in a row, and suddenly it's a nostalgia museum, and the Partridge Family Museum isn't that big a deal.
Well, I think it is a nostalgia museum. I mean, sure, Star Wars is some of the lore to it. But yeah, there have been various revenue projections, but I don't know how really viable they are. I mean, you can do those kind of projections. I'm not sure that the real revenue estimate. I mean, the issue comes down to, you know, what does this add as far as city tourism versus what we might lose through the convention business and that aspect of tourism as well.
Well, and just cash.
I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm also a resident. I stare at that space every day. I don't want to pay. I don't want my taxes going toward that $1.2 billion. Would this ever go to referendum?
Oh, I'd be hard pressed to see that. I mean, there might be some kind of a push for that, but I'd be given the mayor's desire for this, and he still has significant control on the council. I couldn't see this necessarily going to referendum at all. You know, it's very clear he wants this. The whole idea of the lakefront annex of McCormick Place being the site shows kind of the desperate move to try to get out of the lawsuit that Friends of the Parks had filed. Even Friends of the Parks now is talking in a much more conciliatory tone about tearing down McCormick Place for that. There's a lot of moving parts in this thing, but when you start talking about $1.2 billion in tax revenues, and here we just got done talking about Chicago Public Schools, the city is in no great financial shape at all. Is this a luxury that we can't afford?
Well, of course it is.
The bottom line question.
Yeah, of course it is. And the optics for credibility for the mayor aren't great on this because regardless of what bucket of money it's in, the voting public sees it as one big bucket of money.
And he's going to need a lot of changes in tax law from Springfield. And here again, you're really going to count on Springfield to do anything.
Good God. Storm the castle, kids. It's time. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again. It's Rick Pearson, Sunday morning at 7 on the Sunday Spin. Congressman Adam Kinzinger is set to join us at Rep. Kinzinger. Can I jump right to this? All right. Let me go right to Congressman Kinzinger here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, bam. Jump right to it. How are you?
I'm going to need $1.2 billion from you for the Lucas Museum. Can I count on your support?
You know what? I'm gonna have to put myself down as undecided on that one. I'm not sure the federal government's in the business, but I'll ask around. I'll let you know.
Just back from the Middle East. Where were you?
So I went to Egypt, Saudi, Turkey, Israel, and good trip. Really kind of eye opening, and depressing at the same time. But America's allies are wondering where we went, and there's a lot of concern about the future of that region.
What is the sense of campaign 2016 in that part of the world, other than everybody knowing that Trump is a punchline?
You know, that's what's amazing to me is I think the weakness of President Obama obviously has been very impactful. But the words of our frontrunner, of our candidate, have really been just as impactful or at least close to it. This is every meeting we had, President of Egypt, Al-Sisi, the King of Saudi Arabia, the Prime Minister of Turkey. They all ask about Donald Trump, and they're like, you're not serious, right? Like, this isn't a real thing because, and they're concerned. I mean, look, if we're going to win the war on terror, and we have to win it, like, our best ally is going to be, frankly, moderate Muslims. They're the ones that are going to have to do the fighting on the ground and everything that we're not willing to do. And, when you say things like we're going to ban all Muslims, you've gone from 100,000 enemies to 1.5 billion. We can't win that war.
Right. And by the way, the majority of people dying on the battlefield fighting ISIS are Muslims. So this constant.
Yeah. Well, and the number one victim of ISIS are other Muslims. And it's because, look, they're fundamentalists. And fundamentalists, no matter what religion or anything it's in, fundamentalists always target their own kind that they see as apostates first. And that's what's happening.
That's what people need to wrap their heads around. You know, when a lunatic Christian in this country shoots a place up, you don't, take all Christians and throw them out.
That's right.
Crazy, dangerous people are a small percentage of the population and don't represent everybody, fortunately. Congressman Kinzinger, at Rep. Kinzinger, by the way, on social media. I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, I was just going to say, in this political environment, it's easy to get drawn into just rhetoric, right? It feels good when you allow yourself to relax and kind of the darkness of saying ban everybody overtakes you, or the quit spending money overseas and spend it all at home. That populist rhetoric, which everybody knows that's what Trump's doing, but some people still are like they let themselves get drawn into it. It has a real impact and real damage. This isn't just fun time here. This is the presidency of the United States. And look, people are making this decision in anger. I get it. They're angry about the government. But how many times have you made a decision when you were angry that you later regret? For me, sure. It's probably 9 out of 10 emails I've sent.
Don't hit send. What is your plan for Cleveland? You'll be there, I assume.
I'm not.
You sound pretty excited about it.
I'm not. I'll probably go for a day or two just to check it out. And, I'm going to have a hard time coming around to say yes on Trump if he's our nominee. So, if he goes there as the nominee, it's going to be an interesting question. And then if it's contested, it's, obviously it'll be interesting to go see how that works out. But, I'll probably make a brief stop by, but I don't intend to be there the entire time.
Will you support Kasich or Cruz if it's not Trump?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm not not the biggest Cruz fan in the world, but my differences with Ted Cruz are not, it's not really on principle. It's more just kind of personality and tactics, shutting down the government's ineffective, things like that. with trumpets that I think the guy really says completely lunatic things, and this is too important of a job for that. Kasich, I think, would be fantastic.
Do you know why your colleague Peter King wants to have strychnine ready if Trump is actually nominated?
You said cyanide.
Oh, that's right. It was cyanide. Yeah, but it is. I mean, it does come down to what you just said, right? Because we've talked to Senator Durbin about this and others in Congress who have all said the same thing. He just is incredibly unlikable in person.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, look, again, he at least when he talks, he kind of resembles some Republicanism. But, you know, look, we all said it's not, you know, this idea that, you know, there's a dislike for Trump or Cruz because they're shaking up the old way of doing business is completely untrue. It's because we know the guy. You know, Ted Cruz, his personality has been rough to deal with. But, you know, and Donald Trump, we know that the things he's saying are completely unrealistic, that when you talk about cutting off trade with China, it leads to a trade war. You talk about banning all Muslims, it leads to huge problems. So that's why it's not because we're afraid of shaking. There's plenty of people out here that shake up the way things are done, including me, that other people like.
Congressman Paul Ryan said yesterday or the day before that all Republicans should go to the convention. There shouldn't be any sort of a boycott. Do you echo that?
No, I mean, look, I think he has to say that. He's the convention chairman and the Speaker of the House. No, but I think if somebody's uncomfortable with Trump as the nominee, they're not obligated to. I think if they don't want to go be in the middle of a contested convention, they're not obligated to. You know, for me, I've always said I put my country above my party any day of the week. And so that's why I have a hard time. I'll have a hard decision if Trump's our nominee, because while I think the Republican Party is the best answer for America, I'm not sure if Trump's definitely not our best foot forward. So, and I think that goes with every member of Congress. They have to make that decision.
Something that's very personal in your world. A couple of Russian fighter jets buzzed the USS Donald Cook the other day, and what sort of response have we gotten from Russia, and what should we be getting?
Well, it's interesting because the president had a conversation with Putin the other day and didn't even bring these issues up. So I think in Putin's mind, he's getting away with it. Look, I don't think we need a response yet of saying, you know, we're going to shoot them down, but the reality is we would have been within our right to shoot the planes down. They were simulating a strafing run. While they didn't have missiles on them, they could have been loaded with guns. So I think we need to make it very clear to Putin that this is a dramatic escalation. And secondly, look, we have to get serious and give some arms, offensive arms to the Ukrainians, help Eastern Europe develop its own energy resources using soft power, because Russia's kind of a one-trick pony. But the last thing is, remember this, Russia's economy is roughly the size of Italy's. So Russia is not the old Soviet Union, you know, our competitor and you know, basically competitor who's an equivalent size economy. This is a small country that's pushing the world around and doesn't need to happen anymore.
Do you have any sense if that was Russian approved or if these were some top gun cowboys, Russia style, who were just doing this? Because it seems incredibly risky to take the shot that they're not going to get shot at.
Yeah, you don't do this unless it's approved from high up. This is a big deal. You know, buzzing a ship maybe by a half mile or a couple thousand feet is different. In fact, when I was in Kyrgyzstan in 2006 for the war in Afghanistan, we would get buzzed every now and again by a Frogfoot, which is a Russian air-to-ground attack plane. They would just do it as a show of force, not a huge deal. But coming 30 feet on a Navy ship is different. And you know, these kind of intercepts have been stepping up in a big way lately.
Kinzinger.house.gov. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, always appreciate your time.
Yeah, anytime. It's great. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks. At Rep Kinzinger, social media-wise, and Pat Brady will join us in a moment, as will Eric Edelstein, and they will kumbaya us till 8 o'clock as we continue with politics. But first, Dave, what do you have?
What if $1 million dream house could be yours for just $100? What if you became an instant millionaire? Interested? Of course. Call 1-800-CASTLE-2 or click 1-800-CASTLE-2.org. Odds are 1 in 25 to win a prize. Over 2,000 prizes. Hurry, the deadline is Friday to enter the spring bonus draw. Win a Las Vegas vacation for two. Buy additional tickets. You can win a Samsung 78-inch LED 4K Ultra HD TV or a Harley Street 750 motorcycle, plus 100 additional prizes. Enter the 27th House of Dreams charity raffle powered by Naperville Rotary Charities. Proceeds benefit the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, RIC. designated the number one rehabilitation hospital in America for the last 25 years. You must be 18 years or older. Friday's the last day to enter to win. Amazing odds. Enter with $100 using most credit cards. Order at 1-800-CASTLE-2 or click 1-800-CASTLE-2.org, 1-800-CASTLE-2.org.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's all about the most important meal of the day. Brittany and Elliot serving up breakfast. Tune in to Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
We continue talking politics. By the way, Chuck Todd scheduled to appear next Thursday. He had a flight this morning. Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein, Eric. Name of your company is? I'll try it again.
AL Media.
AL Media. What do you do there?
We do electoral politics and public affairs campaigns around the country.
How's that North Carolina thing going for you?
It's crazy times there with that that HB2. North Carolina's kind of in the spotlight. The governor signed a bill that really was discriminatory against the LGBT community, and it's caused a lot of companies to decide to pull out of there. And it's an interesting – saw some research last week, interesting generational divide. People under 50
versus
don't think it's an issue. People over 50 think it's a little weird.
Hey, so, what was the timing of that? Why did this come up just now? It seems odd.
There was an ordinance that the mayor, that the city of Charlotte passed – and then
for the, government bathrooms, right?
For well, it wasn't just see the thing. It's become this bathroom law, but it really had to do with being able to file employment cases using orientation, sexual orientation as a class for discrimination. The state, the legislature, then jumped up, you know, kind of knee jerk and said, "Oh, we're going to preempt all these localities from doing this." So they then said, "No locality. We're going to pass our own anti-discrimination law, but we're not going to include gender orientation, and we're going to ban this bathroom thing."
And is it enough to help your candidate?
Well, I think it's galvanized as a fundraising issue. You know, I think that North Carolina is one of those states that's potentially swing. Obama won it in 2008. He lost narrowly in 2012.
But we picked up a Senate seat there in the meantime,
he picked
right?
up a huge, you know, yeah. maybe the number one targeted Senate seat last time, a huge amount of money spent. I think in a presidential year with a Trump or a Cruz at the top of the ticket,
we lose.
It would probably be a loss seat.
Yeah, we lose. We won't lose to those guys.
Let's jump to 2016. Hillary, Bernie.
I've heard of him.
Bernie's got a boatload of money.
Yeah.
Mathematically, he's got almost no shot. Should he get out?
You know, as a loyal Democrat, I wish he would. I don't think it has to be tomorrow. I think once she officially goes over the majority delegate number, then I think it would be the sort of mensch thing to do, step up, say I'm good with the party. But, you know, ultimately that's his decision. And if he wants to take it all the way to the convention, he can certainly do that. I don't know that that has much impact ultimately in the fall. But, look, we've said for months she's the prohibitive favorite. She's the de facto nominee. I don't think anything's going to change that.
Does it help or hurt the longer he stays in, Eric? Because I know there was some confusion yesterday. He took the day off. He was in Vermont. One staffer said he's probably reassessing. Another staffer said, no. We're going to
check his mail.
California.
Had to go back and check his mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, who knows? My guess is there's probably some splits in that camp. Having been in a lot of those rooms, there's probably people saying, like, let's wrap this thing up. Why are we wasting our time, people's energy? There's bigger things at stake. You got other people. You know, you've been in the trenches. You've been battling forever. It's really hard to let go, especially, you know, Steve, as you said, he's got a boatload of money, tons of supporters. You know, the animosity is palpable between the two of them. So it's hard to step down. I think maybe you go back to Vermont, you let things cool off for a few days, and you make some decisions.
Is there anything he could do for Hillary that he wants or that Hillary would offer him that he would take that would be able to bring some Bernie Sanders supporters over?
Well, look, you know, Sanders started as a protest candidate by his own admission. And I could see, given who he is, it's not so much, you know, political horse trading as much as perhaps at the platform and a role at the convention, he may want certain things at the Democratic
Party. You don't think
Party.
He wants a job?
No. I don't. I think he.
I don't think Bernie's ever wanted a job.
Yeah, really. I mean, he likes working.
He doesn't like working.
I'm teasing. That's not fair. But no, I think it's a position. It's speaking at the convention, which I think he's obviously earned a big primetime role. But maybe more importantly, structurally, the platform. Not that platforms ultimately matter, but you know, can you say I've really changed the Democratic Party or moved the Democratic Party to the left?
He struck a chord though with both Trump and Sanders people on the trade issue. Those are people that may, if Trump's a nominee, may go over to Trump versus Hillary, just because that's such.
Well, that's
a big
that's
issue.
What I'm wondering about. Because
I mean, they're totally wrong-headed.
She, needs a chunk of Bernie supporters, a large, sizable chunk, and are some of those because of her high negatives going to vote non-Democrat?
You know, I think it's
or apples, sit out for that matter.
I think it's apples and oranges. I think when we look at Democratic primary polling and you say, "Oh, these people are Bernie," and they say they won't vote for Hillary, once you get in a general election, more often than not. Pat knows this. People come home to their party, and they really do. Obviously, turnout becomes an issue. But if you want to put up the sort of high negatives that she may have compared to a Trump, it's not even a contest. And so he ends up being much more of a turnout machine. And look, it's an unfortunate fact of political life, but you know, hatred and animosity sometimes is a much bigger turnout tool than excitement and being positive. And obviously, Trump.
Isn't that sweet?
Trump does that on the Democratic side. It's just a fact of life.
Yeah, it is a fact of life. But
well, so does Hillary. But I think Trump, as you said, is a lot more damaging to the party than Hillary is, even as unpopular she is.
She's catching up.
But here's
her unpopulars are high.
In all fairness, I mean, the fascinating thing is going to be there are going to be ticket splitters, and that you know people are sophisticated voters, and they can go out and say, you know, I'm voting against Donald Trump, but I'm still going to support a Republican candidate for Congress or the Senate.
Well, that's the big question, and you know, I always joke with my kids: if you're going to wreck the car, wreck it all the way so we can get a new one. Trump's mm-hmm. probably going to destroy us at the RNC national level, but how much of a price are we going to pay down ticket?
And no one really knows.
No one does know. The rest of this, which we'll take up right after traffic, which I think is a very important question. It's not too early to talk about it. Donald Trump turned 70 in June. Hillary Clinton is almost 70. They both are relatively healthy, but they are at an age where life doesn't go on forever. McCain was hammered with his age. Reagan was hammered with his age before. Who their vice president's going to be? Because I think you got to pick somebody who's youthful, healthy.
I thought you said Trump was taking Ryan Seacrest.
I thought it was either Dr. Ruth or Ryan Seacrest.
Judge
no,
Judy?
Seacrest is for the court, I think, for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, he's not a lawyer, though, right?
Or no, he's
you don't have to be.
He's actually not a judge. You're thinking of Simon, who's not a U.S. citizen. It's 7:48.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You may have been knocked down, but America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat and the crowd has given the final count. It is time for us as a nation to get up, to shake it off and be who we were destined to be.
Let me ask you a question. As you drive to work in Illinois this morning, most of you are in Illinois, you feel like you're on your back? Feel like you're looking up at the lights, looking up from the mat? Have the Republicans ever sounded more negative? It's ridiculous. Ted Cruz. Hopefully somebody will pitch him a cartoon because he's already got his character. At 7:53, let's talk about the vice presidents with Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
You do, what do you do there?
Lobbying, media stuff, whatever you want to pay me for. I'll
lobbying
do
and media stuff. Good hook. What was it, Eric?
Walk he drinks down. Coffee, talks on the phone.
Act busy, carry a file around the loop.
My daughter, when she was little, thought that I blowed up balloons and talked on the radio, so that was a good plug for me, too.
Yeah, sorry. No, we do government relations
sure,
work. Yeah.
Sure. All right, Vice President. Vice President's very important. Let's say it's Trump and Hillary. First off, I don't know who runs with Trump. I know he reconnected with Chris Christie yesterday. Reunited. Who is going to be his running mate?
I really have no idea. I don't know anybody of stature that would actually do that. Even some staffers now. There's an article in Politico yesterday about if you go to work for Donald Trump, that's the end of your political career as a Republican consultant or strategist. I'm not really sure who would take it. He'll have to pull something. Maybe a Carly Fiorina. Right, she wouldn't do it, though. She's Cruz. It'd have to be. I really have no idea. The reality is, and I say this with a high degree of certainty, if he's our nominee, we lose.
Right.
We lose badly.
Okay, and here's the rest of it for me, since I don't believe he listens to anybody, though apparently he's listening to the new guy with the Elvis hair a little bit, Manafort or whatever his name is. Yeah. to me, the vice presidential choice is less important on the Trump side because people are going to vote for Trump or they're not going to vote for Trump. With Hillary, I think it's a different story. I think a vice president could mute some of those negatives, and I think she does need to find the right choice. Who's on the short list?
You know, this is going to make for really exciting radio. I really have no idea. There are names that have come up. Tim Kaine, former senator from Virginia, military veteran, was a candidate for president, is a name that came up.
Anybody that America has heard of?
Claire Underwood.
Claire Underwood would be a good choice. Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, there you go, husband and wife.
You have a constitutional restriction on that, which actually you could get around, but there's you potentially lose an electoral vote.
Should we let him in the White House?
People were talking about
this. This is to me, I think it's a fascinating.
No, she's not.
Is the role of Bill Clinton?
Other than
intern coordinator.
He's going to be on a chair.
First gentleman.
So what's he do? Just
he's
going to
be on a chair. He's going to be locked out, and she won't let him come in and give her any ideas.
Seriously, I mean, I'm half serious. What does he do? Is he like sitting in the East Wing?
She told me, and she told us, that she would absolutely use him as an advisor, and she'd be foolish not to. And by the way, I don't think anybody else even asked her the question.
No,
other
than us. No, she said that.
All right, so Elizabeth Warren's name came up.
Yeah.
She'd been very vocal against Hillary.
Right.
So is she suddenly going to get on board?
Well, she could, but if you're talking about generational differences, I mean, she's
about the same age.
She's a little younger, but she's in her mid-60s. So that really doesn't solve that generational issue. Look,
can two women do it?
I think they could. You know, I think, you know, going back to 92, when you still had this notion that you had to have geographic and you had to have sort of generational balance, and then
Trump Clinton really eliminates that for you guys, because if he's the nominee, the geographic, I mean, I'm serious.
No, right.
He's just not.
But my point is, when Clinton picked Gore, everyone said, well, you got two people from mid-sized southern states. How could that work? But the chemistry of it worked. So In some ways, I think the chemistry is more important. Ryan and Romney, I mean, Ryan gave an immediate boost to Romney's campaign when he was picked.
What about Sarah Palin? How'd that work out?
Yeah, right.
Not great.
Well, but that's the thing is it's an important choice, and it's not, but it ends up being this sort of litmus test. First big decision you make as a nominee, how is your judgment? McCain failed that test miserably.
Well, but I don't think it's outlandish for people to go, we're electing a 70-year-old president. What if they die?
Right.
I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Right.
I would see her picking a man and a younger man. This is, don't take this out of context, and a moderate.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, the question is who, you know, you've got
to. Tim Kaine makes the most sense.
It's not Tim Kaine, who is the Paul Ryan among Democrats?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that there's an equivalent. You know, the Castro brothers, twin brothers, one's in the cabinet, one's been the mayor of San Antonio.
They're not going to be able to get over the wall.
have been touted as potential candidates. I think as you move out west, there are other officials. Senator Bennett, Colorado, is somebody whose name's come up. Kirsten Gillibrand, who's a senator from New York,
her name
has come up. She's impressive.
What about Klobuchar from Minnesota?
Klobuchar is a name that's come up. So, look, I think there's a bench of people. It's going to be a fascinating choice. I imagine they've begun thinking about it, but they've done a pretty good job of keeping the leaks in you know, covered up.
Do you really want to go? And I think there's a comparison. Do you really want to go, if you're somebody of that stature with a career ahead of the young people you mostly mentioned, into Clinton world, which can be a very dangerous place?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. It's just, it's, you know, temptation is hard. You get dangled that number two prize, heartbeat away, all the cliches. It's a hard even if Trump offers it to somebody, that's a hard thing to say no to, I think.
Well, it's a hard thing to say no to if you're asked publicly, because then you're publicly saying no to doing what is believed by many to be the right thing to do for the country.
That's right.
And your party. They won't forget.
I have somebody that would make her feel and appear by image and opportunity and optics to be younger. He's tanned, he's rested, he's ready. Vice President Bernie Sanders.
He's not tanned.
You know,
I mean,
he might be rested and ready. That would not happen, though, would it?
I don't think so.
Okay. No.
The combined age of the ticket would be like 200.
All right, that's true, too.
Before we run out of time, a note from a listener named Sean. Yesterday, Karen Lewis stated that union labor is billed Illinois. Steve, don't let her get away with this. Union labor didn't build Illinois. The state of Illinois was built by non-union farmers. Hard to disagree.
I slightly disagree. A lot of the first unions, you know, local ones, are across Chicago. You look at these skyscrapers, you look at these buildings. Farm industry has been a huge part of Illinois, but you cannot say that unions haven't been a huge part. When the fire tore down this city and it was rebuilt, it was really union labor that did rebuild it. So.
But we're,
we had union, a, we had a, unions after the Chicago fire.
Some of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys buried, a big bunch of men buried in a big grave down where I grew up in Bloomington. The Irish laborers that built the railroad, and they were non-union. I agree, the unions played a huge role.
I got to tell you something. Let me tell you, without the farmers, none of the unions are eating.
Yeah, right. Well, public's the problem is not the trades. It's the public sector unions that have this unholy alliance with the Democrats. We don't get anything done in Springfield.
Do you think the unions are serving the members here in this state?
For the most part, I do.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dave Richards joins us in just a second with a full-on display of all sorts of show business news, including a new Jason Bourne trailer thriller that's out. And, Dean, we have a special guest in studio this morning.
Who would that be, Steve?
Ross Cochran.
What?
Ross Cochran is here.
Ross Cochran?
Hi, Dean.
I believe Ross Cochran is also the producer of the Frank Fontana show that follows my little Sunday morning soiree.
I forgot. You guys see each other a lot on Sundays.
See him every week.
Yeah,
we do.
Ross left the show.
He gives me a finger gesture. He's moving.
Dean's number one.
Yep.
Ross left the show about a month ago.
Yeah, a month ago today.
And has come by this morning and brought coffee. And I don't know if he's looking for work, but we don't have any openings.
Yeah, you seem to have added producers since I left.
We got a lot of people here.
Yeah, it's
Ross, it took that many people to fill your shoes.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But Ross is working, Dean, now with our friend David Hochberg.
That's right, I know.
Yeah. And are you in charge of embezzlement? What division are you with?
I am in charge of embezzlement, yep.
Okay.
Nice.
Are you learning the mortgage business?
I am. You know, it feels weird. It's like this. I was talking to somebody about this, and I was talking about how the first time I was in this studio, I was playing with football cards behind you while you were talking because I was 10.
Uh-huh.
The last time I was in the studio before today, I was producing the morning show.
Uh-huh.
So it, like, Pearl still feels a little uncomfortable. So I set up giant bulletproof resistant windows around my desk just so that it felt more like home.
And did you bring football cards?
I bring football cards too. Put it in a drawer just in case. No, Pearl's great.
It's a normal business. So Dean, you know, you and I have never worked in a normal business. So do you have room there to be insubordinate and disrespectful?
Quietly.
Okay. All right. Can you take extra long lunches and just leave when you want with no excuse?
No.
Hmm.
No, it's a real job. I have a real, like, actual work business. It's very odd.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, what? It's called a real job?
It's a real job. Oh.
So then are you starting to question your choice or mine?
Don't answer that.
This is actually an intervention for you right now,
oh,
Steve.
Oh, man.
John.
Yeah, who does the animal voices at Pearl?
Do they need anyone?
Yeah, they don't have that.
You know, it's a different office.
They don't have that. You going to hang around for a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right, good.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for that. David Hochberg is apparently going to join us after 9. This is starting to feel like an intervention for Riddle. And Mary, for those people wondering, why didn't I ask Ross about Abigail Grace? Abigail Grace is fabulous. She's 4 months old and beautiful and the perfect grandchild and better than all the other grandchildren. And no, I'm not biased.
Not at all.
You told me she didn't like you the other day, though.
No, the other day she didn't.
Yeah.
But there's been days where you didn't like me.
But she admitted it. She probably cried.
She did. She did. She was upset. She was just having a rough
teeth.
Day.
Teeth, maybe.
She's upset about Michael Strahan leaving the Kelly Ripa show.
Oh, yeah. That is upsetting.
Yeah. It's 8:17. We're back with Dean next on 720 WGN.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720. Oh, 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 oh. Top man.
8:21, Dean Richards, live at Channel 9. All right, let's go through the list here. We got a lot to talk about, my friend.
Yes, we do, but before, may I just throw a little shout-out to some wonderful people that I met yesterday. I was hosting a luncheon for the Alzheimer's Association, the Greater Illinois Chapter in Oak Brook yesterday.
Okay.
We had a fantastic luncheon yesterday. We raised a lot of money for the Alzheimer's Association. We all learned a lot about this disease, sixth leading cause of death, the only one in the top 10 without a single way to treat the disease. And compared to other diseases, so little being done in research, more money is needed. This is such an awful, awful disease, not only for the person that has it, but for the family, for caregivers.
Sure.
More needs to be done, and hopefully we'll do a lot more for Alzheimer's. But thank you to everybody. It couldn't have been nicer out there. A lot of people said, say hi to Steve. So if you see him, tell him I said hello.
Well, I will. I'm a big fan of his work. And I've done some work for the Alzheimer's Association, and they are wonderful people. And you can. I'm glad you mentioned the caregivers, because it's brutal.
Absolutely brutal. I was sitting at a table with a woman who has Alzheimer's, who is very, very nice, her husband and her son. And her son got up and spoke at the event and talked about what his mother was like and what it's like now. And I was literally in tears at the table. It was heartbreaking. And this goes on all the time. There are hundreds of thousands of families just in Illinois going through this every single day. It's cruel. It's unnecessary. More research needs to be done. More awareness needs to be done about this disease. You know, I compared it when I was speaking at the podium. I compared it to when I started doing these breast cancer specials like 20 years ago.
Sure.
You know, and we didn't know as much as we do now, and research wasn't what it was now. And I'm not crediting myself for any of this, just that awareness grew and donations grew, and we realized that there was a problem, and the medical community dealt with it. And now breast cancer, while still very serious, is much more survivable, much more treatable. Same with HIV and AIDS, which was once a death sentence and now is a treatable disease. We need that to happen to Alzheimer's, so we can say, remember when Alzheimer's was incurable. We need to get to a point where it's, you know, eradicated, or somehow we can control it so people don't have to go through that, and families don't have to go through it, and caregivers, you know, and so forth. I'm endlessly fascinated with trying to do more to help people who are dealing with this. It's so painful and so cruel to people.
Well, and the bottom line is, and not everybody does it, and I'm not patting you on the back or me on the back, but anybody that is lucky enough to have a public forum like we do that doesn't contribute time and effort and give back, you missed the memo.
Yep. You're big dope, Steve. That's what you are.
You're big dope
if you don't try to do something if you can.
I don't know if you heard, Jennifer Aniston's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Don't I know it?
Yes.
I got a tattoo on my arm yesterday that says Jennifer Aniston is the most beautiful woman in the world.
Did you get it right over the Joey that you had there?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
She has beauty tips you want to talk about?
Well, you know, this is part of the article that was in People magazine, who proclaimed her the most beautiful woman in the world yesterday. Mm-hmm. She shared some of her beauty tips, and I thought all of us really could benefit from some of these. For number one, she does not wash her hair every day.
Neither do I.
That seems gross to me. Doesn't it seem gross to you?
It seems that to me, too.
I know women don't wash their hair every day, but it seems gross.
Isn't it because it's tough to do your hair?
Yeah.
Isn't it
If I don't do my hair every day, I'm going
to
look like that Monica. Remember Monica from that Friends episode where it was
frizzy?
Yeah. It's like me and Diana Ross could be
twins. So you're saying you're a hair type, you have to.
I have to, yeah. I have wavy hair, and I just need to every day.
It's one of the advantages of being bald.
Plus, it wakes you up, you know, 3 a.m. Take a shower.
That's an interesting question, though, for you, Dean, because I don't know about you. You know, because I buzz cut it. I don't shave it completely.
Right.
But I still use shampoo. And sometimes when I'm using shampoo, I'm going, well, that's a waste of money.
I stopped using shampoo for that reason.
Yeah.
I have like a micro inch of hair on my head. It's not worth it. But if we want to look as beautiful as Jennifer Aniston, here's my point. Do not wash your hair every day, because she doesn't.
You got another tip?
She drinks plenty of water every day.
Sure, me too. That's
very, very important.
So far, I'm as beautiful as Jennifer Aniston.
To stay hydrated. She does not wear a lot of makeup.
Nope, neither do I.
Nope, Steve is au naturel.
Checking all the boxes.
Very au naturel. And finally, Before she goes to bed every night, she puts good old-fashioned Vaseline on her eyes.
That's the difference. I don't put Vaseline on my eyes. That's the only difference between me and Jennifer Aniston.
If I remember correctly, you use WD-40, don't you?
I do. I want to make sure they can open in the morning.
You know, I will say Vaseline is, that's gross. Vaseline is the best thing to put on your eyes.
Why?
To take the makeup off. It literally removes every little,
it does work.
You know, eyeliner, mascara, whatever you wear, it just cleans out your eye.
I only really oil up like that whenever I'm doing, you know, body building as a sport. You know, when I'm out and posing. I'll do poses.
Or photography.
Yeah, I'll do some oiled up photography at times as
One more thing I'll never be able to unsee.
All right, so there's a new BET show hosted by a white person. What's this about?
This is the first time. It sounds crazy, but it's the first time in the history of the Black Entertainment Television Network, first time in their 36-year history.
Steve Harvey wasn't available? He's got too many other jobs?
Well,
what's the problem?
Apparently he's got too many other shows. He's way too busy. So they hired this comedian, Gary Owen. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I do know. I know. He's funny.
He is very, very funny. He's been in the Think Like a Man movies.
He's got an HBO special.
Among others, HBO special. But they just signed him for a reality show called Gary Owen's Family. To follow his culturally blended family. His wife is African-American. His children are interracial. He says, this is the new face of the American family, and I feel like Ben Carson at the GOP debates.
You know what? That seems right.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's making the news. Everybody wondered what happened to Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, she's converting.
I've been so worried about her because we haven't heard a lot. About a year ago, she was walking in New York, and was holding a copy of the Quran in her hand.
Right.
She was being interviewed the other day, and somebody asked her about that, and she said that she is considering converting to Islam. She's in the middle of reading the Quran right now. It says, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm open to learning. America has portrayed holding a Quran in a different way to what it actually is. It's good to be open-minded.
Well, she's not wrong about that.
No.
It's very true.
Bless her for
speaking of being
open-minded,
Caitlyn Jenner is being named among Time Magazine's most influential people.
Because I haven't had enough hate mail today. I thought we'd mention this also. Mm-hmm.
What are you getting hate mail about?
Well, once I do this Caitlyn Jenner story, I'm sure I will. Because Time Magazine is calling her one of the 100 most influential people of the year, calling her a hero for having the courage to come out at this stage of her life.
Okay.
You remember when she got the ESPY Award, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPYs, and all the controversy that came with that.
Right.
There's bound to be a similar amount with that. So please send your hate mail to Time Magazine. Not to me. I'm just reporting the
story.
So you
didn't actually name her the most influential?
I really have very little to do with what goes on.
Your real name isn't Dean Time Magazine?
I get to choose the man of the year, but outside of that, I really have no power at Time Magazine anymore.
China, the wrestler, found dead in Los Angeles overnight, 46 years old. What happened?
They don't know. Manager said he hadn't heard from her in a couple of days. Went to her house to check on her, found her dead in her home. Officials are doing an autopsy to try to figure out what happened. TMZ is saying the police are investigating a possible drug overdose. She had a history of drug problems. She appeared on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. She had been on reality shows. She had been in mainstream films. She had been in adult films. She's best known for her career with the WWE. Back in the mid-90s, she was billed as the ninth wonder of the world at one point, the WWE Women's Champion, but yesterday found dead in her home in Redondo Beach, California.
And finally, there's a new Jason Bourne trailer out. I love the Jason Bourne movies, and he's not too old to play this yet?
No, he's all buffed up in this whole thing. And I figure, you know, what's the best way to, you know, bring you all the action of a new movie trailer than playing some audio that doesn't really show you anything.
Excellent. Can you roll it?
But I think we have a little right here.
Let's go.
This is Jason Bourne.
I need to talk.
That's excellent, Dean. Good for you.
Dean's list A+ already.
Sounds like a really tense situation. Jason Bourne needs to talk.
It's a pretty cool. I'll tell you what. We had this new Magnificent Seven trailer.
Uh-huh.
Good old-fashioned Western that came out yesterday. This Jason Bourne trailer that came out today. Both two pretty cool trailers. We've got them up on the website, so you can check them out.
And I don't want to pat my own behind here, but I do all of Jason Bourne's stunt work.
Again, Steve is not just Joe Manganiello, as we talked about the other day.
Yes.
When they need a body double for somebody, they call Steve.
They say, well, they go, let's get a guy that looks like he has two already.
Very extensive IMDb credits for you.
Thank you, Dee.
Yep.
See you, bye. And big story next, 720 WGN.
Ryan Dempster.
Steve! Three!
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove. Ooh, that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
8:42, connecting with Ryan Dempster is actually on vacation, and he's taking our call. We had him a moment ago. We lost him. We're dialing him back. Ryan Dempster is in Italy.
Oh.
How about that?
Wonder where in Italy? Maybe Venice.
Is there professional baseball in Italy, Dave? Is Demps looking to come back in Italy?
Possibly. Yeah. Yes.
He could do it.
I'm sure.
Could totally do it. Mm-hmm. The White Sox have the best record in the American League. Is that accurate?
They have the most wins in the American League. Yes, 10 victories, 10-5.
Nicely done.
They have best record in the AL. And
Chris Sale, first to get to four wins.
Chris Sale, first four-game winner in the majors. The Cubs tied for the most wins in the majors with Washington. Washington has played one fewer game and lost one fewer, but the Cubs right there, and they have a great road record, 7-2.
Cardinals beat the Cubs yesterday to avoid the sweep. Where do the Cubs and White Sox go now?
Cubs go to Cincinnati. They have a four-gamer against the Reds. Remember, they swept Cincinnati in the first series at Wrigley Field last week. So tonight, Jake Arrieta will pitch for the Cubs, and he has been obviously lights out, as he was at the end of last year. And he's going against Brandon Finnegan, who had that no-hitter going till the seventh inning against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. And then Cubs broke it up and ended up winning the game.
Well, there you go.
And the Sox have another matinee against the Angels this afternoon. And then Texas comes in, and that'll be a big test because Texas is playing well and they can score a lot of runs, and so it'll be a good test for them.
Now, we were talking earlier, John DeCostas here. John, you and I were talking off the air about this, I believe. The White Sox fans have got to start showing up for these games.
Well, I did the math. The last three games, 36,000 total for three games, about 12,000 average, and the Cubs had 41,000 just for one game.
Yeah,
and they're winning.
Yeah, and the White Sox are winning.
Exactly.
And look, I know that baseball's not cheap, but I know that they're, you know, this notion that the Cubs fans are rich and the White Sox fans are poor. I mean, all the cliches that go to why White Sox fans don't show up is nonsense. If you want to support the team, support the team.
Yeah.
I've walked up to the cell on the day that the Cubs have played the White Sox there and purchased tickets. Not very expensive at all, but they're available.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the Cell is a terrific stadium.
Yep.
They've made great changes to that area around the ballpark. The gift shop merch store across from the Cell is one of the best in the bigs.
Our friend Dave, the Polo Cafe, is just a block away from the Cell.
But you know what? In all fairness, the Cubs are an anomaly, and there are a couple of them. San Francisco's this way. Some of the other teams. If you look at attendance around the majors yesterday and last night in April.
Right.
Let's see, 16,000 in Miami. Well, they don't tend to draw there anyway. I mean, you're always going to draw at Fenway. They always draw. They draw pretty well in San Francisco. 20,000 in Philly. Well, Phillies haven't been very
Pittsburgh
good.
Tends to draw, doesn't it?
But,
PNC.
But there are a lot of low attendances around the major leagues.
Yeah, but I agree.
I agree with you.
But here's what we know: White Sox fans are not supporting the White Sox in person. And until you support them, it's a very simple method of madness to baseball. Revenue creates opportunity. Revenue comes from you guys buying tickets. And if you want the White Sox to continue to have competitive revenue, one of the main ways to do it is to show up and support the team. You can spend your money any way you want. But sitting around complaining about the White Sox when he never goes support the team, well, maybe you're not as big a fan as you say you are.
One of the things we've always heard from White Sox fans, John, and you, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but
you're wrong.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. They won't just go out to the ballpark to watch a team if they're not winning, unlike Cubs fans.
Correct.
Right? So now they are winning, but they said they'll support a winner. Well, they are winning.
Okay.
And so now they
But the Cell is also very family friendly. My cousin will take her kids there. They have dollar hot dog night. They have games, the beanbag toss, you know, you can do things in the back of the park too.
Ryan Dempster on the phone from
All
Italy.
Right.
We will go to him right after this traffic update from Mary. What do you have, Mary? Anna Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues with Ryan Dempster from Italy. Well, of course you're in Italy. Where are you?
Yeah, buongiorno. I'm just outside of Cinque Terre, so just left Venice this morning and drove our way over here, and we're about 30 kilometers outside of the west coast here for a few days.
Nice. A vacation you've wanted to do for a while, or what's the point of the trip?
Yeah, no, always wanted to come over here and had a chance. It just worked out well. The team went on the road. I got some free time and thought, oh, it's a good time to do it before it gets too hot and tourism picks up too much over here, so it's been a blast.
Well, good for you. And how many people are coming up to you and going, what's with Donald Trump?
Oh, I'm Canadian, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. Listen, the Cubs and the White Sox continue to win. How long is this going to last?
I truly believe for a good part, for the rest of the season, I believe they both have good teams. You know, I know that the Cubs do, firsthand know how well they're put together. And I look at the White Sox and, you know, it was a matter of time. You can't sign all these free agents, these good players. You make a trade for an all-star third baseman, Todd Frazier, a good clubhouse guy. You can't do all those things and guys have repeats of last year. The guys are going to bounce back and have good years. And I think, you know, that's the one thing I look at their ball club, and I think that they have the potential. Yeah, they have three good, really good starting pitchers at the front end of the rotation. And the way Matt Latos is throwing the ball, if he can continue half of that throughout the course of the year, good back in the bullpen. So I could see them doing this for the rest of the season.
You know, the Cubs have outscored their opponents, I believe, by 44 runs over the course of the first 15 games. That far and away the biggest run differential. And a lot of that has to do with the pitching, Ryan. I mean, they had, for their first 14 games, their starters went at least six innings. How much has that helped strengthen the back end of their staff and specifically the bullpen?
Well, for sure. Everything starts with your starting pitching. You know, we just talked about it with the White Sox. When you get good starting pitching, you're going to win ball games. And you're going to win close ball games, and I think that the three guys at the front of the rotation, you know, Jason Hamill had something to prove from last year. The second half of last year, he didn't like the way it finished. He worked really hard this winter. You know, Kyle Hendricks heard things. You hear rumblings. Oh, I might not get my fifth starter spot. And he's gone out there and pitched really well with a little bit of a hiccup yesterday. But you know, this lineup is just deadly, man. The way they just like grind out at bats. You look at it. You got guys hitting 200. Nobody's really raking other than Dexter Fowler. And they're scoring 6-7 runs a game at times because they're able to grind out at bats and come up with a key walk that passes along to the next guy. And it's just it's a contagious thing, and this is a deep lineup that can continue to do this all year. And the starting pitching and the back end of the bullpen is probably underrated. Rendon, if you look at his statistics, you look at his numbers the last couple of seasons, somehow because he's a closer of the Cubs, people think, you know, he's not good enough, but he's been lights out and posted a sub-2 again last year, and I think he's going to do it again this year.
They had a chance to sweep the Cardinals in St. Louis. They came up a little short yesterday, obviously. You were on the club when they last had a sweep in St. Louis in 2010, but what does going in there and winning those first two games this week and then the first two meetings of the year do for the Cubs, knowing that the Cardinals are going to be lurking all season long?
You know, and let me extend that question out, too. Do these kids understand the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, and does it matter to them more?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, I think they do understand it. And I think that, you know, winning every series matters to them. But they know that they're going to get their best from the Cardinals. You know, there was a play last year at second base, and Yadier Molina broke up a double play. And some people saw it as a little bit aggressive. And he came to the plate the next time up, and he said to David Ross, he said, hey, you know, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. David Ross had a perfect comment. He just said, you know what? No problem. You're actually making us better by making us play harder. And it's a great thing. It's a great rivalry. These two teams, they love to play each other. They don't like each other, and that's the way rivalries should be. They respect each other, but they want to win. You know, and to go in there in St. Louis and take two or three games when you know that they, after last year, I know being on a team and you lose to a team, you want to beat them. And the St. Louis Cardinals want to win these games. They matter to them, and I think, you know, the fact that those guys went in there and won two or three and then fought through a rain delay and come out and score two runs and have a chance to even win the third game. You know, there's a lot of fight in these guys. It's going to be a fun matchup to watch all season with these two teams fighting each other.
The wind that's blowing Ryan Dempster from Italy into the Mediterranean will take him away soon. So before we run out of time, and for your own safety, pitchers this time of year, off to a hot start. You know, you don't win without it, but how do you stay healthy in April? What special things does a big leaguer have to do in April that they don't have to do once you're in June and July rhythm?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I was always a big believer in the fact that because of the colder weather, you're going to get some colder weather around the country. You know, you're extending your arm out for the first time. I believe that getting some good cardio in, you know, after you make a start, go for a long run, sweat those muscles out, getting good workouts in. You know, there's times during the season where you can back off things. And so beginning of the season is where you continue to push. You continue to push that limit a little bit. Even though, you know, the season started, it's almost like a spring training mode just with extended innings. And I think that's really important, you know, staying warm in between innings, doing those kind of things. And sometimes you have to push a little bit through some aches and pains. I'm not saying pitching injured. I'm just saying some aches and pains because they're going to be there. And you allow your body to get a little bit more tolerable of those things. And I always found that helped me. And, you know, for the most part of my career, you know, the beginning of the season was probably my strongest. I felt the greatest through then. And just really working hard like you did during spring training to get through the beginning of that season.
Appreciate you letting us interrupt your vacation. What are you planning on doing in Italy for fun that you haven't already done? You going to the Vatican?
No, not actually even going into Rome. So going to go down to, like I said, stay on the coast at Cinque Terre, this beautiful place, do some hiking, go to Florence and Siena and try some of their vino and just kind of, yeah, go all around. Had a wonderful time in Venice, incredible meal last night, and one of the best meals I ever had, and just, yeah, just enjoying this wonderful trip.
Andre, you've done Italy.
I mean, oh, I love it. I would have gelato every day and limoncello.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And limoncello, and stay away from the grappa.
Yeah, the grappa. No, thank you. I can pass on that anytime.
Why is he staying away from the grappa?
It's like a real strong liquor.
Oh, that's more for that's
you can taste. Light a match in front of you and start right. A fire afterwards.
Oh, so that's more for Dave Ennett.
It's like lighter fluid.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's yeah, pretty yeah, strong. Yeah, stick with yeah, the limoncello.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Demps, have a great trip. Get back safe.
You got it.
Thanks, man. That's Ryan Dempster live from Italy.
Live from Italy.
How about that? Live from Venice.
Sounds like he's having a good time.
How about
eat,
that?
Eat, drink, and be Dempster. Mm. All right, Andre, what do you have?
Well, what if a million-dollar dream house could be yours for just $100? What if you became an instant millionaire? Sound good? Call 1-800-CASTLE-2 or click 1-800-CASTLE-2.org. Odds are 1 in 25 to win a prize. There's more than 2,000 prizes, so hurry. The deadline is this Friday to enter the spring bonus draw. Win a Las Vegas vacation for two. Buy additional tickets, and you can win a Samsung 78 LED 4K Ultra HD TV or a Harley Street 750 motorcycle. Plus, 100 additional prizes. Enter the 27th House of Dreams charity raffle powered by Naperville Rotary Charities. Proceeds benefit the Rehab Institute of Chicago, RIC, designated the number one rehab hospital in America for the last 25 years. You must be 18 years or older. Friday's the last day to enter to win. Amazing odds. Enter with $100 using most credit cards. Order at 1-800-CASTLE-2 or click 1-800-CASTLE-2. org.
And if you want to get rid of the bags and the puffiness under your eyes, you need Genucel. Genucel from Chamonix will get it done for you. The people from Chamonix want you to know the plant stem cell treatment from Genucel is going to work for you the way it works for us. And right now they'll double your order for absolutely free. So you're going to get twice as much for the price you pay at 800-933-5196. And you could say goodbye to bags and puffiness once and for all. They're going to go away and they're going to stay away. You just put a little on in the morning, a little on at night, and Genucel does the rest. You won't be traipsing up and down the cosmetic aisles buying hundreds of dollars of stuff to try to do what Genucel does for you. Genucel works. Invest in it. Get double the supply now for the same price. and you are going to be perfectly happy with it. And if you're not, they got that money back guarantee. I don't know anybody that's done it, but at least you know it's there. You don't have to trust me. Trust yourself. Get your own. See if it works. 800-933-5196 for Genucel. 800-933-5196. Double your order right now. 800-933-5196. It's Genucel.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9-11. Crank this up. Wind and fire. John and Dave and I were going to get our leisure suits and head for the club. Still sounds hip. Some songs from the 70s, okay. Most songs from the 70s don't hold up, but this does. Nine 12. Steve Bird is here from the Better Business Bureau. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Nice to see you. Steve is nice enough to drop by every month and update us on how not to get our money stolen.
Exactly.
What's the ripoff of the month?
Well, right now it's happening is door-to-door. It really, it's not just the door-to-door that they have extra material on the truck. It is that, too. But also, it's now you got college kids coming out selling magazine subscriptions, and consumers are alleging that they're not getting the magazines or they're triple or quadruple the price that they promised at the door. So you have to be very careful. I would not do business with anybody who comes to your door without checking them out first. So,
well, this is a good a point that you make for obvious reasons, but also this is the time of year when you're going to have college kids coming up and saying, I'll paint your house.
Exactly.
I'll paint your house for
your house. Right.
How do you check them out if they don't have – I mean, these could be good kids just looking for work. How do you know?
But it depends on who they are. If they're your neighbors, it's a little different. You can check out your other neighbors. But if there's somebody comes to your door, you don't know them, I wouldn't do business with them unless you've – check them out. They should be part of a company, because if they're kids and they get hurt at your house, you're
That's
liable.
A good point.
So you got to be very careful. So I do business with a business unless you want to do friends with your neighbors. So be very careful on that. And then utility scams. I mean, that's been around, but it keeps increasing. Somebody comes to your house and actually tries to, you know, I need you to see your utility bill. And then they basically try to switch you over your electricity or your gas to another provider. It's very cheap for the first few months, and then they skyrocket the next few months. So
these are literally electric companies that will front sell you.
Exactly.
Is it kind of a bait and switch in that business?
Bait and switch, exactly. Misrepresentation, they said, fraud, or whatever it may be. They said they have lower rates than the rate you're paying because they want to look at your bill.
Is it a legal business? It is
a legal business.
Legally stealing money?
Not legally stealing money. They're misrepresenting themselves. So
okay.
The misrepresentation concerns us as well. But again, for the elderly too, especially in Chicago, if somebody comes to your house and knocks on the door and says they're from utility, they got to get in to look at your pipes or look in the backyard, don't let them in. Because there's so many scams out there, but there's also people coming in and rip and stealing from the homes. Recently in Elgin, they had a big rash of this. Chicago, Naperville. They get you out of the house or get you to the back of the house, and then the second person comes in with the unlocked door and starts going through anything. So if they say they're from utility, call the utility, close the door, don't open it, and make sure it's them first.
I notice a lot of snail mail like that too lately, saying, hey, you know, we're a better alternative to your energy company. Or, hey, you know what, we're a better alternative to the loan that you currently own. On
right
and tear those up.
Well, you can look them up first. Obviously, you could go to the Better Business Bureau. Some are legitimate. There's always legitimate organizations in every industry, but there's bad actors. So if they promise you everything or they're going to use a huge amount of savings, you know, why wouldn't the other company do it? So there's always some type of catch to it. So if you call the BBB, go online, not only us, but go online and Google and put the word scam next to the company, and you'll see what others have said on other bulletin boards or other customer review sites throughout the U.S.
There's an alarm system scam I was not aware of. People put out signs in their yard that say this home is protected by an alarm system.
Yeah. Right.
And the idea is to scare away the burglars, but there's everybody takes advantage when they can. So what happens then?
So basically another alarm company comes in and sees that and says, well, we're from that alarm company. We'd like to come into your house and review it and look at it. And when they look at it, they say, you know what? Sorry, it's outdated. We have to put a new system. Don't worry, it's free. We'll put the new system in for you, but you have to sign this contract. Well, basically you're signing a contract for a new company. They're not from that particular company. They're coming in from a third party company who's misrepresenting themselves. But you're signing another long term contract. Some have been 2 years, 3 years that you have to have this alarm system to your house. And sometimes people have two alarm systems they're paying for, because you can't get out of the old contract either that you're under. You got to be very careful. A lot of those are out of state alarm companies. Again, well, I can't tell you the names because there's so many of them. Check with the Better Business Bureau first before doing business with anybody.
So a good piece of advice is if you decide to do business with somebody that knocks on their door, don't do business with them until you have vetted them completely. Exactly. But in general, it's a bad idea to do business with somebody that knocks on your front door.
Because you don't know anything about them.
See,
generally, exactly. There's some good companies that do come around, but you still want to check them out. If it's a window company saying they got great windows, okay, give me an estimate. And you still got to get two or three estimates, so you're not going to do business with them right away. You got the charities, too. They'll come to your house. Oh, can you donate to this charity? Can you give us cash? You know, who is the charity? You've got to vet the charity first to see the money that's giving to the charity is going to the right cause.
Let's talk about the storm chasers that always hit Illinois once we get into thunderstorm and tornado weather.
It happens all the time. Basically, these storm chasers are sophisticated now. They have their own websites, their own applications as well. So they know when a storm hits, what neighborhood it hits, and what the damage assessments are. So they start pulling into these neighborhoods, and they're basically con people with vans who don't have any insurance, and they say they're roofers. They say they could fix all this. The trouble is when there's a major storm in a neighborhood, nobody's available then because all the good contractors are already taken. They're already booked for the summer anyway, and the people in the neighborhood are already booked for the people in the neighborhood. So these con men come in, storm chases, and start stealing people's money and promising you everything. Well, if the tree's about to fall on your house, you want it taken down. If your roof like is damaged, you want them to fix it right away or water in your basement. But again, you've got to check them out. I would not do business with somebody who comes to your house, knocking on the door, saying we can help you in some way without doing any due diligence checking.
I see that a lot on weekends too, especially with fires. You know, they'll right. pull up ready to board up the house. You know, they're just kind of waiting and say, all right, you know what, here, we'll do this for you, but you got to pay us cash in return.
Cash in return, exactly. And it's a lot higher than you could have got it for yourself. They basically are what they call fire truck chasers and like ambulance chasers with the attorneys and things of that nature. You've got to do the due diligence. That's the most important thing. Today's society, I see scams all the time, but consumers deal with companies that if they would have called us first, they would have been told what the problems are and they would have avoided it. They call us after the fact to complain. It's too late.
You know, my mom is hip, your mom is hip, your dad John is hip, there but their friends may not be so much.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever talk to your mom and John in your case your dad and just say, hey, you know, tell your friends about these things that are going on?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, you have to check first. Go take the extra step.
And encourage your dad and, in your case, your mom to talk to their friends about it.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, they got the IRS call.
The IRS calls. Finally, it's slowing down the IRS call. This because everybody's telling everybody about it. And that's key, Steve, as you mentioned. Tell everybody about it and just check. Just go online. It could be with the Better Business Bureau. It could be Google. Anything. Just put the company's name in and see what appears. And if the offer seems too good to be true, it usually is. And when there's an upfront fee involved, that's what the BBB calls the tip-off to the rip-off.
One more before we run out of time. Ecuador, you know, we've had this terrible earthquake, and we know that if you send money to Red Cross, that's the best way to go. But are people going around asking for money?
They are asking for money to door-to-door and basically sending email spams because the spammers or the scammers go where the money's at. So if they know people want to donate and they want to, the scammers will start creating websites, fake. They'll sound like maybe sound like
You're
American
so
Red
going
Cross.
To hell for doing this, people.
I know. It happens all the time. It's very sickening.
When you make a purchase online or if you donate to a charity, you give your credit card. I think many of us pay our bills now online with credit cards. I know you have to make sure there's a secure site with the little lock or it says HTTPS.
That's correct.
But you should never say save my credit card information, should you?
You'd rather not because it stores on their data. It stays on their computer system. So if there is a breach, your credit card information is there. I don't say it personally. I don't save it on those systems. It's up to you. Depending on the company you're dealing with, how secure is their systems? You've seen the majors like the Targets and they've all been
no,
hit.
No, take the extra effort and re-enter your
right,
credit
exactly.
card next
yeah.
time.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's a pain in the butt,
but it's
better
well
than having
it.
Your stuff
exactly.
taken.
Exactly. Or 6 years to clean your credit report, Steve, when something does happen and you don't realize it. And get your credit report every year. That's a great, great point, is get it for free every year, annualcreditreport.com. That's the only site we recommend because it's free and it's endorsed by the government.
Now, I would assume that if people want to pick up the phone and call the BBB, your people will help too.
Yeah, exactly. Our phone number is 312-832-0500. Our website is bbb.org. Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
And I got to tell you, I've known Steve for a long time. He's never stolen anything from me, so I trust him.
Me neither.
As a matter of fact, he keeps bringing stuff in.
Yeah.
Drop it off first. Good to see you. The Better Business Bureau doing great work, and we thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
920. Ross Cochran should be at his regular job by now, but no, he's hanging around his old job. What's that all about, and why is David Hochberg here? Is there a surprise cooked up? Let's find out together. 9:20 back after this on 720 WGN. And I have a bunch of prizes to give away. So, obviously, our mantra for the day is...
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Down 3-1.
Yeah!
I have an opportunity for you the next time that plays. Jake will drop it in sometime between now and 10. When he does, be caller number...
720?
720?
No.
All right, caller one then. First caller, after you hear the, so you're saying there's a chance line, before 10 o'clock, and we've got a bunch of prizes to give away to you then. David Hochberg's here. Did you come over to fire Ross since he came here instead of your office?
No, I just want to know who gave him permission to take the day off to screw off this morning over here. This
so you heard him talking on the air, and you said, wait, he works for me now.
Yeah, I thought so. Obviously not.
How'd his first month go?
So far, so good. I mean, he it came close. I told him, you know, he had a couple of smart-ass comments, as you can only imagine. And,
well, you think he got them from me? He works for you now.
He and I said, you know, you better be careful. That key card might not get you in the door in the morning. snapped him right back in line.
So you're teaching him all of the machinations, the ups and downs of the loan business. But at Pearl Mortgage, mostly ups?
Yeah. Well, I'm just teaching him about life and about being successful and what it takes to work in the real world. I heard you guys talking about that earlier, you know, because this is kind of make-believe in here. And
you've become a father figure?
Yes. Well, I told you earlier, I think it was Tuesday. It's a little odd. You know, he's like, he calls me Hochberg like you do, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
When everybody that's
you
been.
You think it's weird that I call you Hochberg?
No, it's an endearing term, you know, with you. But, you know, with people that report to me in Team Hochberg or Pearl Mortgage start calling me Hochberg, I'm like, dude, you know, you got to.
There are other people that work here. You have to call me Mr. Hochberg once in a while.
No, you know, Dave, hey, you. You know, it's like, hey, Hochberg, I got this verification for you. I'm like, well, that's great. Yeah, people been with me 16 years haven't called me Hochberg. I'm like, all right, cool. Way to go there, Spartacus.
Didn't I raise him well?
Oh, did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah,
apple didn't fall far from the flipping tree. It's a crooked tree, but it's a great tree.
Now, Ross, what if in the first month have you enjoyed the experience? And keep in mind, you are under oath.
Yeah, I absolutely have. It's the part of your brain that, you know, you exercise when you're like trying to learn a foreign language.
Uh-huh.
That part of my brain has been active for the past month, going from radio to the mortgage industry,
as opposed to the carnival part of your brain, which was active when you were working for me.
But the person who sits next to me is a former kindergarten teacher. Which could not have worked.
Yeah.
Which could not have worked out better.
Hold on
because...
a second. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You taught kindergarten?
No. I skipped it because I was so advanced. But
Taylor is another opener who sits next to me. Who does my same position.
Okay. I thought you meant he taught kindergarten.
No.
Me? What are you doing? Can you see me teaching kindergarten?
Crying, running for help.
Take a nap already. Lay down on the mat.
Why is the man yelling about my coloring?
Shut up and put your jacket on. Flip it over your head. My God. How many times have we got to teach you 4-year-old how to put a jacket on?
So you work with a former kindergarten teacher.
I work with a former kindergarten teacher, which was perfect because she was patient. As she taught me things, she patted me on the head.
Uh-huh.
I got a lot of free snacks, so it was great. But everyone there has been extremely helpful and to the point where I feel bad for how little I know. Because I know that my asking as many questions as I'm asking, trying to learn the business, trying to learn the sense of things, that they have 100 emails from Hochberg to get to as soon as I'm done asking questions.
But here's the thing. Look, Ross can't hear us now.
No. Ross who?
When he left here, he was a really smart kid, had a lot going for him, and there was nothing but upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of what he's saying, I assume he's doing fine?
He's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job.
And everybody likes him.
Yeah, well, he's not. It's hard not to like.
Well,
he's
I know. And you know
he's
what?
Not like me.
He gets there on time.
Yeah.
He asks a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And he doesn't smell.
But
so
you want.
Three qualities. It's a good start to the day.
You want people to ask questions.
Oh, I told him, ask tons of questions. Because
you're in a business where not asking questions could end up cause big problems.
Costs a lot of money to somebody
like
me. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, every Friday I tell Ross.
Do you think I'd be a good employee for you?
Depends what type of employee that would be. we would have a very, very limited job responsibility sheet for you with not a whole lot of complicated things. Pushing buttons We don't know what you would push him for, but it'd be great. But just talking into
I'm really good with detail.
I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've proven that. There's no question. And hitting time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Getting to breaks and reading things. You're a master. It's wonderful.
Pearl Mortgage is where these two work. And John DeCoste has been collaborating with them on a song. Now, you know John's record with songs.
Oh, he's hitting it out of the ballpark, batting 1,000.
So apparently there's a surprise song about Ross's one-month anniversary at work and leaving the show. Anyway, we'll get to that coming up before 10 o'clock. Let's take a break, come back, get your big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I don't know if there's extra pressure. I think that when you're down 3-1, I think it shifts. And like everybody wants to win in the worst way, and I think that's what we got to come with that attitude and appetite tomorrow night. And, but I don't think it's any different than it's been in other years.
Neil Greenberg does the fancy stats blog for the Washington Post. He knows more about analytics than just about anybody. He paid attention to math class. And he was on with us, Dave, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
I think right around the beginning of the playoffs. Does that sound right?
Yeah, Neil was kind of gently explaining to us that the Hawks might be in a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Neil Greenberg. Is that line 6, Jake? Is that right? Let's go to Neil Greenberg now and talk about how much of a chance the boys have for the rest of the go since they're down 1-3. I'll tell you what, Neil, I think we got them right where we want them.
It says a lot about a team that is so confident in their playing ability that they will sport the other team a 3-1 series lead despite not having home ice advantage. So I'm with you.
I was looking at the Fancy Stats column this morning, Dave, and Neil writes, Steve, you're screwed. Now, the Blues are really good, but it's not over till it's over, and you got to beat the Blackhawks to beat them. So what are the Hawks' chances going back to St. Louis tonight?
Well, statistically, the higher-seeded team that takes a 3-1 series lead has gone on to win the series 84% of the time.
Right, but so 16% of the time they haven't.
That's right. So we're going to focus on that 16%
right
now. And like you said, it all starts tonight, obviously. They're in elimination mode. I would say that they have probably a little bit less than a 50-50 chance of winning Game 5. And a lot of it has to do with how they've been playing. Now, they've been a little bit undisciplined, and they've had trouble scoring on Brian Elliott. But the one thing that is in their favor are the shot attempts. And I'm talking about all shot attempts at even strength. And even after you adjust that for the score effects, because we know teams that are trailing tend to just fire pucks at net,
right,
they still have a healthy lead in that regard. What's hurting the Blackhawks the most is that their chances aren't becoming goals. And that's something that over the course of the regular season you don't worry about too much. But in the playoffs, seven-game series, especially in the situation that they're in, it's a little bit of a challenge. So that would be the only thing that would worry me. But, you know, again, there are some silver linings, but it's not going to do them much good if they get eliminated.
I know one of the things that you do is plot where shots come from, where strengths are, and where tendencies tend to fly. Are the Blues doing anything to Kane and Taves to keep them from getting good shots off? And you know, like you said, even when Kane has gotten decent shots off, he hasn't been able to score.
Yeah, the high danger scoring chances, so those that originate in the crease and the slot, the Blackhawks are generating those at a rate that they generated during the regular season. So this really is just, you know, for lack of a better term, being snake bit. I mean, Patrick Kane has 17 shots on goal in 4 games. That's more than 4 per game. You know, Taze has 14 in 4 games. That's more than 3 per game. So those two guys are getting their look.
It's funny because you don't feel like Taze has gotten that many shots off, but he's right there with Kane.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Duncan Keith has 12. So I mean, they're generating shots. You know, Panarin has 16 shots and only 1 goal. So, you know, again, I think that this really is just some poor puck luck for the Blackhawks. But, you know, it's coming at the worst possible time, right? I mean, for the offense to dry up during the playoffs is deadly, and that's what we're seeing. So, you know, like I said, the shot attempts are there, but no fan's going to take solace in that because they're down 3-1 in the series.
How many shots has Tarasenko had? Because it feels like about 100.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 17. He's got 3 goals. And that, You know, and that goes, again, to show you kind of what we're talking about here, is that if you were going to tell me that both Kane and Taze would be well into the double digits in shot attempts, as was Tarasenko, I would think that they would have roughly the same amount of goals. But, you know, as we know, that's not the case. So, you know, again, if there was more time, I would say, obviously, don't panic. This is nothing. Everything's going to work out for the Blackhawks. But I'd be a little bit concerned, you know, especially going into the elimination game. And now, you know, to make it even harder, the Blackhawks aren't going to have Andrew Shaw because of some of the comments that he made. So that further hampers the depth that this team had. And the depth really was the hallmark of the Stanley Cup teams that we saw just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, keeping in mind they have done it before down 3-1. Having said that, what's the percentage of teams that come back from 3-1?
It's only 16% in the first round. It's not high. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't mean to give you a little kick in the nads, but that's where we're at.
By the way, Nads will be playing tonight for the Blackhawks. He just got called up from Rockford. All right, so one other thing. Corey Crawford. Corey Crawford had an exceptional season. They wouldn't be in this position without Corey Crawford. He didn't have a great game four. Prior to that, it was just he versus Elliott, and Elliott maybe just slightly better. Do I need analytics to know that he can't wander into the corner to beat up a thug or a drifter that happens to be coming by?
No, it's really funny how these goaltenders, especially some of the better ones, are really aggressive in terms of that team. I mean, you see with Crawford, we see it in Washington with Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby is not afraid to mix it up with the
whoever.
Other skaters. Yeah, I mean, so it's but that to me signals a little bit of a lack of focus. Your job as a goaltender is to stay in the crease and be disciplined. So when you see guys, you know, wandering out there to fight or to just kind of get in the face of the opponent, that to me is a little bit worrisome. It's much better for a guy like Crawford, who obviously can play goal very, very well, is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, to make his statement that way in terms of not letting pucks go by instead of going around picking fights with Fabry.
Yeah, well, the other piece of it is there's guys on the team that do that for you. You know, Crawford's supposed to go, hey, yo, panic, you got this? You know, and
right.
and then you don't have the issue. All right, so we got a 16.
Crawford.
So if you believe in math, and why would we at this point, we have a 16% shot tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that's historical. I would give the Blackhawks a little bit higher probability than that, only because, like you said, you know, they've been here before. They've come back under Joe Quenneville. They're 43-14 in games 4-7 under Coach Q, including 26-6 over the past three seasons.
That's
so
really good.
This isn't a Blackhawks team that's going to skulk away lightly. And they are getting more of the shot attempts. They're getting good looks. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if tonight was a statement game and Chicago came out and won 5-2. So
right.
I would give the Blackhawks a slightly higher chance, but even less so much the series at this point. They obviously have to win this game, and I think that that's more of a coin flip. So if we're just taking it game by game, which I think we need to do now, I would say it's a coin flip that Chicago wins, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did tonight.
Last word, Dave.
Well, that was it. I just wanted to clarify. So the 16% is not necessarily
that's the series
tonight. That's the series.
Yeah.
That's the series, yeah.
Okay.
So tonight, I would say it's a little bit more of a coin flip.
All right. Okay. All the best. Where do we see you again? Fancy Stats?
Yep, on WashingtonPost.com, or you can check me out on Twitter and Greenberg. Feel free to give me some feedback.
At N Greenberg. Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, come back, and hear a little music from the mind of John DeCoss on the one-month anniversary of Ross abandoning the show. Back with that in a moment on 720 WGN.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
Yeah, you guys, do we have a winner in our contest?
We do. It's Mark Mulroe.
Mark what?
Mulroe.
Oh, Mulroe.
Yeah.
Thought maybe you were having a dental incident.
And
Mark gets everything on the prize list. You want to tell him? You want me to tell him?
He's going to get a pair of tickets to see the hit Rodgers and Hammerstein Broadway musical, The King and I,
That's
playing
right.
at the Lyric Opera from April 29th through May 22nd and featuring well-known tunes like Something Wonderful and Getting to Know You. Get tickets at lyricopera.org. He's also getting a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is a home for Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and order online at loumalnati's.com. Also, Smack Shack dropped off some guacamole with crab on it, so thanks to them.
Smack Shack?
Yep.
Okay, where
are
they?
You may have seen them in Diners, Drivers, and Dives. They're opening in the West Loop. So, Andrea.
Ooh, let's go, Mayor.
Yeah, we're on it.
Smack
we are
Shack.
On it.
We're over gonna, by you? No, over yeah. by there?
We're going to go on a restaurant tour and hit all like the trendy, cool okay. places.
Excellent. Yeah. And then we'll go to Shred so we can work off what we ate.
Yeah, and we all need right. your credit card, by the way.
That'd be fantastic. If you two want to have this conversation off the air, that'd even be even better. The ChevyDriveChicago.com people are giving you the WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug along with a bag of Papa Nicholas Coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, to all winners. And remember, if you'd like to know what Mary and Andre are doing when they're not here, just keep the show on.
They'll tell you.
All right, so John DeCasse is here. David Hochberg's here. Ross Cochran is here. Ross, you left the show a month ago.
I did.
To go into the wild and wacky world of business.
The zany world of the mortgage industry.
All right, and John, you were tasked with the idea of coming up with a song, I'm told.
Right, right. And actually, this is the first time in 3 years ever that I've written a song that somebody else has recorded.
And that made you really uncomfortable?
No, actually, it was the most fun I've ever had. Okay.
Now, Hochberg, you're not a singer.
Well, I am, but not a very good singer.
Okay. So you're a singer in a shower.
Yeah.
Singer at holiday events.
When I have enough alcohol in me, yes.
Okay. And, John, you were telling me that when you were with Mr. Hochberg that he was as nervous as anyone could ever have been at any time about anything ever.
He ever. His confidence level is tremendous, except for that one day that we were in there, and I could not stop laughing.
Because
he was sweating profusely.
That's what guys do to other guys. You just laugh. Now, the song that you wrote, this is news to me.
Yes.
The song that you wrote has outtakes of the first
hours. The outtakes will come out after.
Oh, do you want to do that after?
Let's do the song first, yes.
And does this need a setup? What does it need?
The setup is it just explains what has happened over the last month.
Since Ross left.
Things have changed, yes.
Why Ross left, since he left.
Correct.
Roll it.
A short time ago, not too long, just a while, talking up Pearl Mortgage 720 on the dial. And I've seen Ross grow from a boy to a man. I told him I could pay him more than radio can. He said, up to now, GN and Pops have been my whole life. I need to talk to Lauren, get permission from my wife. I really need to ask my wife. I took Ross Cochran from the Cochran Show. Brand new baby Abby means he needs a lot of dough. He said I'm like the shining knight Sir Galahad. I just want to call you daddy. I really want to call you dad. As we closed the refi, it occurred to me Ross was just like me. My son was just like me. I took Ross Cochran from the Cochran Show. I'm teaching everything to him from everything I know. And the really great part that makes Steve so mad, Abby calls me her grand.
Oh, now wait a minute. I'm drawing a line there.
Goo gaga, goo goo gaga, goo gaga.
Wow. Well, I hope you enjoyed your last appearance on the show.
It was fantastic.
Wow.
I just read what was put in front of me. Or sang.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
I don't know. You sold it pretty well. Son, we're going to need to talk after 10.
Yeah, I bet.
That's funny.
Remember, he still owned your granddaughter.
Yeah.
Tread lightly. The millions of dollars David has saved people over the years has culminated into that song.
Really?
Yeah. the peak and the valley of my career right there.
Worked out really well.
High and the low.
Yeah.
Thanks
well,
for having
a nice
me
run.
On.
Yeah, you had a nice
Better
run.
Kiss up to Ro now, right?
Yeah, good luck. You and Ro should be great together. We'll be back. Happy anniversary, Ross.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so you say. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy next at 720 WGN.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was.
You're just gonna rub it in, huh? Is it? Just gonna rub it in. Give me. We don't have time to hit all the outtakes. You got something you can play for me? You got any outtakes? Give me a little bit of the outtakes. That's great. So far, it still sounds like Harry Chapin to me. By the way, we were going to do a Hawkopedia, Dave, but it looks like we're going to run out of time. What would the Hawkopedia have been about today?
Well, it would have been a blooper. Oh, Wendy, you want me to?
Do it on our show.
Okay, I'll do it on their show.
What would it have been about if we had time on this show?
Well, you can't know. You'll have to listen. Neener, neener, neener.
I didn't say that.
All right, neener, 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 and his Hawkopedia coming up. You ready for a couple outtakes? Yeah, why not rub the salt in the wound a little deeper? Give me a few of the outtakes.
I need to talk to Lauren. Get permission from my wife. I really need to ask my wife. That sucked. She said, up to now, GN and Pops have been my whole life. I need to. That sucked. Okay. He said, up to now, do you. I talk raw. Okay. Ross was just like me. My. I took Ross Cochran. I took Ross.
This
Cochran
is why he's a mortgage guy, David Hochberg.
That's fantastic.
He'll entertain you and he'll give you the best mortgage advice ever. 312-751-1333. He's good. Tell you what, he's courageous. Wendy and Bill are here. Good morning.
I love outtakes.
Yeah, they're funny.
And Bill told me yesterday.
By the way, the one that we actually cut together to work apparently was an outtake.
I thought that was a Trump rally. I didn't know you were.
Wow.
Bill informed me yesterday that what did you say?
I said yesterday that you swear more than any person I know, but I have to change that.
All
now.
Right, thank you.
You came in second now.
They're
going to take away David's NMLS number.
Yeah. David Hochberg, less cursing for real clients at 312-751-1333.
God, I love you, Hochberg. Mr. Hochberg.
He's crying over there in the corner. And I'm not sure if it's because he's enjoying himself or because a career just ended. We'll see you tomorrow. Here's Bill and Wendy.
And Dave Ennett's Hawkopedia coming up on our show. This is Chicago's very own 720.
This is how I keep losing people,
isn't it? Well,